Yeah, good testimonies today. Praise the Lord for everything He's doing. Folks, let's grab our hymnals for our final hymn today. Prior to the message, I'd ask you to open up to 260. Hymn 260, because if you're saved, you've got the very best friend a human being can have this side of heaven, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. What a friend we have in Jesus. We'll sing the first and the last of 260. Thank God for that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Oh, Proverbs, yes. Proverbs, yes.
Yes, that's in there too.
Yeah, I'm right. See you.
Right you are.
Yeah.
And Hebrews chapter 13 as well. Piano sounds really good today. I love it. What a friend. On that final stanza, when we take it to Him in prayer, we find solace. That's comfort. Amen? And encouragement from the Lord. Thank God for it. Well, let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up to the book of Psalms today, people. The Lord gave me a message yesterday, something I'd never quite seen before in the Bible. You know how that goes, don't you? There's always something fresh. It's alive. God will speak to you through it. And He does. As you're opening up to Psalm 23, I'd like to read something to you. Very sad. We just celebrated what? Thanksgiving. That's right. 3 days ago. This past Thursday. Well, it wasn't such a happy Thanksgiving for everybody. A youth pastor is charged with killing his entire family on Thanksgiving. This fella here. Look at him. Now, he's down in Virginia. A Virginia youth pastor has been arrested in the shooting deaths of his wife stepdaughter and the stepdaughter's boyfriend in their home on Thanksgiving Day. Police said Christopher Gaddy, 58, was charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder and 3 counts of using a firearm in the commission of a felony. Police arriving at the family's Chester, Virginia home around 11:30 p.m. Thanksgiving Eve, found the woman's body inside and the man's body in the front yard. The women's bodies were inside. Authorities identified the victims as Janet Gaddy, 58, her daughter Candace Coons, 30, and Coons' boyfriend Andrew Buthorn, 36. All of them lived together in the home. Neighbors said Coons recently moved back home from Oregon, with Buthorn joining her. Neighbors also said the family runs a furniture store nearby Petersburg, Virginia. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reported Gaddis was a youth pastor at Grace Lutheran Church, where he was a ministries coordinator for middle school and high school students. This guy was in the ministry. Members of Grace Lutheran Church are deeply saddened by the loss of life last night as a result of 3 individuals being shot in Chester. This tragedy included members of Grace Lutheran Church. The church said in a statement, Gaddy was being held at Chesterfield County Jail without bond. He was scheduled to appear in General District Court on Monday and Juvenile Domestic Relations District Court on Tuesday. Can you believe what I just read? Folks, why did I read that to you? I'm here to tell you this guy was in the ministry. And he was so deceived by Satan that he murdered his entire family on Thanksgiving Day. What am I saying? I'm saying be on guard, Christian. Watch out. The devil is like a roaring lion, devouring even God. Now, I don't know if he was truly saved. Says he was a youth pastor. He was in the ministry. I'd take for granted the guy was saved. What could drive a person, even a Christian, to such a point? That's right, Scott.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8.
That's right. But verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about. He's not in hell. He's having a party right now.
Yeah.
That's going to end very shortly when the Lord comes back. But in the meantime, folks, we need to be on guard. And I simply, as your pastor, I just simply want to warn you to watch out, because the devil is out there and he's tripping God's people up left and right. Husbands leaving wives and all kinds of things occurring that ought not. So let's put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Psalm 23 today, folks. Psalm 23. But let me ask you a question before I begin here. You ever feel like somebody's following you? Yeah, I've had that feeling. I want to preach a message today that I've entitled, Something's Following Me. Something's Following Me. And I'm here to tell you today, church, that something is following you. I don't want to scare you, I don't want to alarm you, but I want you to know that something is following you. Psalm 23, we'll stand and read my wife's favorite portion of Scripture in the entire Bible. She can quote it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to speak to you on something's following me. Father in heaven, how we thank you for verse number 6. How we thank you that David said, surely, absolutely, truly, goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life. And then I'll dwell in his presence forevermore. Lord, how blessed are we today. We are absolutely followed daily by your goodness, by your mercy, by your divine presence, O God. I'm so thankful that David said, if I should ascend to heaven, thou art there. Behold, down to hell, thou art there. The bottom of the sea, thou shalt find me. Lord, you're omnipresent. And I'm so thankful for your goodness and your mercy today. Lord, this is what mankind needs. The goodness of God. The mercy of God. The divine blessing of the Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless your word today. Speak to our hearts and encourage us that something good is following us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Now, beloved, we've all seen the Hollywood movie where the woman is walking down a dark street at night when she suddenly realizes that she's being followed. She turns around in fear, yet sees no one following. Now, that's a situation where something is following you that you don't want to follow you. But I'm here to tell you today, church, that something really, really good is following you. I want to talk about it today. And here in verse 6, God, who cannot lie, promises David that because of his faith in God, because of his covenant relationship with God, two specific things would be following him every day of his life on earth. They are goodness and mercy. Goodness, that is God's favor and blessing, would accompany him all of the days of his life. And God's mercy, that is God's kindness, faithfulness, and forgiveness. David, in verse 6 is declaring to the entire world that for all those who wouldn't choose to make Jesus Christ their personal shepherd, that the goodness of God and the mercy of God would literally follow them even all of the days of their lives on earth. Brethren, I'm here to tell you today that something is following you. And it is something good and very good. Let's look specifically at just what it is that's following us. First, in verse number 6, David says, surely goodness shall follow me all of the days of my life. The goodness of God is pointed out first. You know that goodness is one of God's eternal attributes? God is a good God. And his goodness extendeth to all the earth. Listen to me. Go to 2 Samuel and chapter number 7. Four things concerning God's goodness that is following you. First, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God's goodness is directly connected to his covenant keeping. You realize that? You're in covenant with God, and God will keep his covenant with you because of his goodness. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, you know it well. It's the Davidic covenant. Right? And in this covenant, we find God making certain irrevocable promises to the king. That is, that the Messiah would come through his bloodline. And look with me here in 2 Samuel chapter 7 at verse 18. After God makes the promises to David, David falls on his face because he's overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Watch what he says in verse number 18. David, then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore, thou art great, O Lord God. For there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we've heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people? Even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemedst to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant, concerning his house, establish it forever. And do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it. And with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Beloved, in verse 28, David says, this goodness, this great goodness of God has been promised to his people forever. Lord, folks, I'm here to tell you, the Lord is a good God. And his goodness is directly connected to his covenant keeping. He will not break his covenant with you because of his goodness. Secondly, his goodness, which is following me, is connected to his delivering us from our enemies. Go with me to Exodus chapter 18. I am so glad that the goodness of God that follows you and me is directly connected to his divine deliverance from our enemies. In Exodus chapter 18, look with me at verse number 7. Exodus 18. They've come out of Israel. You know that. He's redeemed them from Pharaoh. And look what Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, says unto him. Man of God, Jethro was. In verse number 7. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, Jethro, and did obeisance and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Now, folks, here's what I want you to see in this passage. In verse number 9, Jethro declares that the goodness of God was directly connected with the divine deliverance from Egypt. And I'm here to tell you today, church, that the goodness of God will deliver you from your enemies. Now, folks, listen to me. We don't have physical enemies. Though those out there may consider us Christians their enemy, we're not their enemies. Your enemies are spiritual. And I'm so thankful that we serve a God who is able to deliver us from every wile of the devil. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. His goodness is connected to his deliverance from our enemies. In 2 Timothy, we find the Apostle Paul in his final words before his martyrdom at Rome would take place. In 2 Timothy, go with me to chapter 3. I love this epistle. In chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, look with me at verse number 11. Paul's listing all of the trials and tribulations he went through serving God. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Paul says, something was following me. It was the goodness of God. It delivered me out of all of my trials. I am so thankful that he delivers. Go to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. In chapter 4, look with me at verse number 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Yeah. The Lord reward him according to his works. He will. And of whom be thou aware also, for it greatly withstood our words. And my first answer, no man stood with me. But, he's talking about before Nero. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, notice here in verse 17 that he said, the Lord delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. Apparently, Nero tried to feed Paul to the lions, and they spit him out. Just like that, you know, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, was the lion wouldn't eat him. The same thing. The angel of the Lord shut their mouths. But the Lord, the point being, that the Lord delivered him. Why? Because of the goodness of the Lord that followed him. Something else, though. His goodness that follows you and I is directly connected to his praise and worship. Go with me to Psalm 107. In Psalms 107, I'm so glad that the goodness of God is directly connected to worship. Why do we praise God? Why do we worship him? Why do we sing praises to his name? I'll tell you why. It's because he's so, so good. How would you like if God was a mean God? Oh, that would be horrible, wouldn't it? Oh my, I'm so glad for his goodness. In Psalm 107, verse 8, David declares, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his what? Goodness. For his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He's going to fill you, Christian. His goodness is going to go with you wherever you go. I'm so thankful it's following me. And look with me at verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. One of his most overlooked attributes. Verse 31. He says it again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Child of God, let me say this. Some of you are becoming a little slack in your worshiping of the Lord during service. We need to sing like we mean it. Why? For his goodness. For his goodness' sake. We need to worship him from the heart and let it ring. You say, I can't sing very well. Doesn't matter. Make a joyful noise. That's all you need to do. Why? Because his goodness, which follows you, is connected to his praise and worship. Fourthly, his goodness is directly connected to our repentance. I am so thankful for this. Go with me to Romans chapter 2. New Testament book of Romans. Look with me in chapter number 2. His goodness is directly linked to our repentance. Watch this. In Romans chapter 2, look with me at verse number 4. He says, Paul says, by the Holy Ghost, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Notice, he calls it the riches of his goodness. If you've got that following, you're rich. And forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now, folks, every time I read that verse, I always thought, oh, yeah, I repented and got saved. Well, you can use that. That works good. But Paul here is speaking about your daily repentance. Listen to me. Yes, the goodness of God leads you to repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. That's true. But it also, listen to me, the goodness of God will cause you to repent when you sin, child of God. The goodness of God will call you back to his bleeding side. The goodness of God will cause you to turn from that sin back to Jesus Christ where you belong. Do you understand that? His goodness is directly connected to our repentance, and that daily. It's his goodness, not our good deeds. Secondly, something else is following me. Go back to our text in Psalm 1, in Psalm 23. I like this. The goodness of God, oh yes, but there's something even better. In Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life. Now, folks, let me say this before I begin preaching this point. If you're such a goody two-shoes that you never sin, you never mess up, you're just Mr. Perfect Christian, then this message is not for you. But if you're like me, and you need the mercy of God, and you need the forgiveness of God, this is for you. Listen to me. He says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life. Now listen to me, folks. This is a doctrine of eternal security verse. This verse promises you that the mercy of God that you received when you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior is with you forever. He won't take away the mercy He's bestowed. Now, listen very carefully. If you're anything like me, then you stand in need of God's mercy and forgiveness daily. Why? Because we still mess up because of the flesh. We haven't reached sinless perfection yet. Though our positional sanctification is perfected, our practical sanctification is far from it. We need mercy. Why? To get saved again? Nope, you're already saved. To stay in fellowship with the Lord. Oh, folks, this is so good. I see four things His mercy is connected to. His mercy, first, is directly connected to His leading of us by His Spirit. Go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus. Remember, they just came out of Egypt in Exodus 15. We find the song of Moses. We find all of this praise. We find that the Lord is a man of war. Verse number 3. Amen? But notice this in Exodus chapter 15, verse 13. Moses writes, Thou, Lord, in thy what? In thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Notice that the leading came after the redemption, not before. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Now, notice here the direct connection between the mercy of God and the leading of His Holy Spirit. Beloved, I've got good news for you today. His mercy is leading you. His goodness is following you. Oh, I'm so glad I can't get away from Him. I'm so glad He stuck to me like spiritual super glue. Isn't that good? Now go with me to Genesis chapter 24. Flip back from Exodus to Genesis. Genesis 24. Abraham sends his servant to find a bride for his son, Isaac. And look what happens here in chapter 24 of Genesis quickly. I want you to see that the mercy of God is connected to His leading us by His Spirit. In Genesis 24, look with me at verse number 21. We read, And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. This is the servant of Abraham going to Laban's home to find a wife, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands, that's Rebekah, and 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? God told him she would say, Yeah. And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said more of their kin. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. Why? Keep reading. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his what? Mercy and His truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Folks, notice verse 27. The mercy of the Lord God of Abraham led him to the master's brethren's house. You can't miss that. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Notice here how closely connected God's mercy is with His leading. Oh, I'm so thankful that the day October 3rd of 1986, when I got saved some 31 years ago, I am so thankful that the Spirit of God began to lead me in my life. Oh, I'm so grateful that as He leads me, His goodness and His mercy goes with me. Something else, though. Look with me here and notice that His mercy is directly connected to His being loved. Go with me to Exodus again, chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, listen to me, church. If you love God, the Bible says if any man love God, the same is known of him. People are going to know it. But most of all, you know in your heart of hearts if you love him sincerely. If not, you're anathema. I'm ad-libbing. In Exodus chapter number 20, his mercy is directly connected to his being loved by the believer. Look with me in Exodus chapter 20. It goes without saying that every true believer loves Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, in showing mercy unto thousands of them that what? Love me. Love me. And keep my commandments. He says, if you love me, my mercy follows you. If you adore me, you worship me, I am your Savior from sin. You love me, I extend mercy to you forever. And that mercy is based upon a judgment that was given 2,000 years ago. Now, go with me to Deuteronomy, chapter number 5, quickly. Got to move. In Deuteronomy, book of rehearsing, right? Of all that the Lord God had done for Israel through the wilderness for 40 years. He says this in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 10. And, this is God speaking, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. Don't you love them, church, today? I know that's why you're in the house of God. It's not because of me. It's not because of Sister So-and-so. You're here because you love Jesus Christ. And because you love Him, you're in covenant relationship with Him, His mercy will never leave you. I am so thankful that I'm saved today and forevermore because of His mercy. His mercy. Thirdly, His mercy is directly connected to His eternal being. Go with me to Psalm 118. And realize today, church, that God's mercy, which follows you, is directly connected to His eternity. His eternal being, that is. Psalm 118 is a psalm familiar to all of us. But looky here, Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. It's the goodness of God again. Because His mercy endureth for a week. No, wrong version. Forever. Yeah, let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. Do you fear the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Then you can boldly say with David, His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Verse 29. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Don't we will take the time. Psalm 136. 27 times in 26 verses. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy that follows you is directly connected to His eternity. Do you know what that? Yeah, you understand what that means? Because He's an eternal being, His mercy is eternal. There will never be a day when He says, okay, I don't love you no more. I'm putting you in hell or the lake of fire. No, because He is an eternal being who keeps His word forever. His mercy will endure forever. I'm so grateful for that. Notice the connection here directly between His everlasting being and His mercy. But fourthly, notice that His mercy is connected to His covenant. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll finish with this. I am so thankful that His mercy, which follows you and me, is directly connected to His covenant. You know why you're saved? Because you're in covenant with God. You are in a literal blood covenant. And look with me in Hebrews chapter 10. We see this covenant, a better covenant. Hebrews chapter 10. Look with me at verse 28. Now notice the first covenant. He that despised Moses' law, that's the old covenant, died without what? Mercy. There was no, listen to me, there was no mercy in the covenant of Mosaic covenant. Under two or three witnesses, it was just a death penalty because you broke the covenant. You broke the law. But there's a much better covenant. Chapter 9. Look at this, chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant, Mosaic, had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly, earthly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. This all pictured something in heaven. After that, the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. That's the throne, typifying the throne of God in heaven, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid, the Ark of the what? Covenant. Overlaid round about, notice how many times the word is mentioned in this passage, with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, the tables of the covenant. And over it, God is very serious about his covenants. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second, the holiest of all, went the high priest alone, once, every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as yet the first tabernacle was standing, which was a figure, an example, for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings, carnal ordinances, imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, here comes another covenant, being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, the one in heaven, not made with hands, that is to say of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, the outward man, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, what cause? His sacrifice of this blood. See it? For this cause, he is the mediator of the what? New Testament. The new covenant. That by means of death, for the redemption of payment of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, that's a last will and testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Listen to what he's saying in verse 16. You cannot inherit the last will and testament of the testator until he dies. That's why he died. He had to die in order to give you his goodness and mercy. Watch. For a testament is of force after men are dead. He was. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, first covenant, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. You've got a blood-sprinkled book, beloved, if you've got a King James Bible, saying, this is the blood of the testament, covenant, which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood. This is what happened to you in the spirit realm when you got saved. He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. But without shedding of blood, there's no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. That's the ones on earth. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, and which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered from the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now folks, listen very carefully to what chapter 9 is saying. He's saying that the blood covenant which Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made 2,000 years ago is in force because he died. He sealed it with his own blood. And this is the reason why the goodness of God and the mercy of God shall follow me all of the days of my life. There is no other way to receive God's goodness and God's mercy but through the covenant of his Son. This whole New Testament starts out by saying the New Testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It is a legal binding document in the court of heaven that says you can have eternal life through his blood. Oh, this is so good. His mercy, finally, is directly connected to his covenant. His covenant. Now go back to Psalm 23. It's Psalm 23. Look at it. David says, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life. Folks, it's just like when you're driving down the highway and you look in your rearview mirror only to discover that someone is tailgating you. They're just right on your back bumper, 12 inches away. And you're like, man, this guy's just tailgating me. Yes, goodness and mercy is following you real close. It's like when you go down to Walmart or go to Black Friday, the Christmas shop, and there are hundreds of people following you in to shop. They're following you. God's goodness and mercy is following you. It's like when you're Michael Phelps in the Olympics and he's swimming all so fast in the swimming pool, but behind him there's 10 other guys chasing him. They're following him real close trying to win the race. God's goodness and mercy is following you. I'm so thankful. It's like the 5K race. Anybody run a 5K? And no matter where you are in position in that race, there's a bunch of people behind you following you. It's God's goodness and mercy is following you wherever you go. It's like when I was a kid and I was a Cub Scout and we used to have the annual Cub Scout Festival Day. All of the Cub Scouts in Massachusetts, we'd all gather for this great festival and we'd play games, we'd eat pizza and hot dogs and oh man. And the big event of the day was the chariot race. I'll never forget it. The chariot race. We'd have these chariots One man chariot. I would always be the rider because I was the skinniest little runt of the Cub Scouts. So I'd be the rider. The lightest guy would be the rider. And then your Cub Scout friends, there'd be two poles coming up. They'd grab hold of that pole on each side and they would pull you around that hus track, on a dirt track. And the stands would be full of people cheering, come on, come on. I want their guys to win. And don't you know, we won the race. But I remember during that chariot race, looking back and seeing a guy right behind us and going, come on, guys, keep it up. They're following right behind us. That's how God's goodness and mercy is. Keep it up, guys. It's following right behind us. His goodness and His mercy. It's like Miriam and I, we went down to Florida a few weeks ago to visit our son. And that big 747 we're flying on the right wing there's goodness, on the left wing there's mercy. It's going with us wherever we go. I'm so thankful. When the blue lights come on and you're driving down the road and it's the police, you certainly hope He's not following after you. But that goodness and mercy, it's following after you real close like. I've got one more point though and I'll be done. There's one thing we have to observe in closing, back to Psalm 23, and that is this. Observe the final result of being followed by God's goodness and mercy. Look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In verse 6, David makes it clear that there is a grand finale to being followed by God's goodness and mercy, and that is the fact that we will be in heaven forever with Him. He says it so clearly in verse number 6. Now listen carefully, folks. Indeed, beloved, here is the good news. For all those who are being followed presently by God's goodness and mercy, they exclusively shall have the personal privilege of dwelling with Him forevermore. I remember, in closing, let me give you this. Our youngest son, Stephen, he was 11 years old at the time. Esther will remember this. We lived in Calais, Maine. At the time, I was pastoring a Baptist church in Bering. In fact, my oldest son, Bobby Jr., now pastors that church. And one day, Stephen came home from school. The kids would walk because it was a few blocks. It wasn't far enough to take the bus. So they'd walk to and from school. And one day, Stephen came home from school, and he came out to the door, and there was a dog following right behind him. And he said, Dad, Dad, can I keep him? This dog had apparently followed my son all the way home from school. He said, Dad, I tried to lose him. I ran a bit, but he ran faster. I took another shortcut through the trees there, and he just followed right behind me. And he said, Dad, this dog followed me home. Can I keep him? And I said, well, I don't know. Let's take out his collar. And said his name was Drake and a phone number. So I said, let me call his owner and we'll have his owner come get him. So I called his owner and I said, yeah, your dog Drake? You got a dog named Drake? Cream-colored lab? He said, yeah. I said, well, he's followed my son home from school. You want to come pick him up? He said, no. I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm tired of that dog running away. Just keep him. I said, Stephen, I got good news for you. You can keep him. It's just like the goodness and mercy of God that follows you. You can keep it. It will never leave you. It will never forsake you. It's His goodness and His mercy, Father in heaven. How we thank you today. How we thank you today that just like old Drake followed my son home, your goodness and your mercy follows us every step we take. It doesn't matter where we go. It doesn't matter what we do. The goodness and the mercy of God is with us forever. I can boldly say the Lord is mine helper and I will not fear what man shall do because of His goodness and His mercy. Oh Lord, thank you that David, the little shepherd boy, realized at a very young age who you were. You were his personal shepherd as he guided those sheep. And in the final verse, he made a declaration to the world. He said, surely, not questionably, not doubtedly, but surely, the goodness of God is with me. The mercy of God is with me. And I will be with Him forevermore. What a blessing, Lord, to know the truth. Something's following me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will sing one in closing. I'd ask you to open up to hymn 67. I'm so glad that not only is this goodness and mercy following you and me, but we can keep it. We can keep it. Hymn 67, we'll sing the first, the second, and the fourth. Ah, yes. We'll stand for a time of invitation. Oh, yeah. Because he paid.
The Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, lost and free, find in me thine own in all. Jesus, bid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Listen now.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all.
I'm so thankful that because he did it, his goodness and mercy follows us every step of the way. Brother Scott dismisses some prayer, and don't forget, pray for these on this prayer list throughout the week. Thank you for being in God's house.
God have mercy on me, you wicked sinner. I realized I was a sinner and I needed to be saved, and some people don't even realize that. They said, saved from what? Like, God. Let people be convicted and need a salvation and see themselves for the sinners that they are. And because I've had people say, you go to church, you go to heaven. Why? And it's like, right there, I'm offended. So, Lord God, please convict them, Lord God, if they need a salvation and the fact that they are made in your image. I ask this in Jesus' name. Thank you for your sermon on mercy and forgiveness and your goodness, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, Peter.